SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Well, to paraphrase the old Tom Durkin commercial for Saratoga, it's the moment you wait for all year. Johnny D's kickoff to the year. It was delayed by 2 weeks, but here it is finally. It is a pleasure that we can get Johnny D to start his 2019 commentary this morning. Johnny, Happy New Year.
Thank you, Stevie. Thank you. It's been a rough 2019 so far, but we're gonna improve it each day forward. We had just to let everyone know a little bit of where I was, because I've gotten some messages from people. I had some heart issues. Suitably, my heart was racing. And I told the doctor, that's okay, I've been in racing my whole life. My heart's always been racing. But apparently it was going a little faster than they'd like to see it. And so I underwent a couple of procedures, one of which I think is worth discussing because it's so remarkable. They go in through your groin. They follow, I guess it's your artery. They follow your artery up to your heart with a microscopic fiber, and they get up there in your heart, and I don't know if this process is done in other cities, but here in Philadelphia, while they're in there fixing your heart, they'll also tattoo an Eagles logo on your heart. So I had them do that. It was only like, I don't know, $50 or something. So I had them do it while they were in there. But everything is fine at this point. The racing heart is now going back to just a morning breeze heart. So we're okay there. And it's a galloping heart now. It's not a racing heart. It's a galloping heart. So we're in good shape. And I miss, obviously, being on the show and certainly you kept in contact with me the whole time, and I appreciate that, and everyone else who had kind words and good wishes. Thank you.
Well, just obviously was concerned as this thing unfolded, and it dragged on too. I mean, that's what was a little alarming, was that, you know, it was one thing to have the initial, you know, concern and circumstance, but then, a day, a couple days turned into a week, into a second week, and a little worried.
Probably because they originally tried to control this with medication, and that was like the first. I was in two different hospitals, during my sojourn, and initially they tried to control it with medication, and I don't think it was quite working as well as they thought. So then they transferred me to a different hospital, more suitable for heart work. And at that point, they said, "Well, let's just go to do this procedure and get it cleared up." So they did. They did a couple procedures, but the final one. And I think what the dragging on was is that because I was in the hospital so long. I was in there like a week, which is, you know, if you just went and had this procedure done, there are occasions where we'll send you home the same day. But I think because I've been through the ringer already, the procedure on top of it and everything else, it took me longer to get back into stride. But knock on wood, everything's good now. I did learn something as I was thinking about this. And, of course, watching the football. And watching what Nick Foles did after Carson Wentz went down, how important it is to have a great backup quarterback. And then I realized that the backup for your heart, I don't really have one of those yet. You're kind of stuck there. You got to get that one to work. I guess you get a new one, maybe, but, you know. So, anyway. But it's all good, and we're looking forward to better than ever, man. I don't know what I'm going to be like with a great heart now. Oh, and to all my critics who say I don't have a heart, I now have proof. I have visual proof that I have a heart.
Well, we appreciate that I kept asking. Or last week, I thought, all right, maybe next week, and we'll get Johnny back. And I was really relieved when you said the other day that you'd be ready to go.
Part of the problem, Steve, is that I wasn't watching racing because I couldn't. And I was not up on anything going on. And, of course, I was watching the Eagles play, and I was able to do that. In fact, I always remember the doink-doink. I was sitting in a hospital room watching the doink-doink happen, and the heart monitor, phew. I told him outside, I said, listen, take those monitors off while the Eagles are playing. It's not going to work out. The thing was, I hadn't watched any racing, so I really couldn't. I felt unprepared.
Well, we don't always concentrate on just the racing and our visits, but we can start to look forward, particularly to this week, Johnny, and what's happening tomorrow down at Gulfstream, and they'll draw the Pegasus races, both the features and then the other seven stakes. I just had Nick Tamaro, and Nick's going down for the Pegasus betting challenge, which is a 2-day event, Friday and Saturday. I want to remind everybody, came up last week as well with Tom Quigley, and I think Nate Newby's going to join us either tomorrow or Wednesday with more details for anybody that wants to join in. But the $12,000 all bankroll, and it all goes toward your wagering, and then the prize package, which is totally put up by Frank, totally put up by Stronach, and really really has become a major in the contest world, and you can just tell. I mean, Nick's flying in from Texas, and Philly Joe, they're going to go down and do it, work on it together. This is a big, big opportunity, and what I think a $300,000 prize pool should be a lot of fun, and a lot of big players will be on hand, and you can play on ExpressBet or at Santa Anita too.
That's right. That's right. If you can't get down there, you can't get away for a couple of days, you can go and play on ExpressBet and enjoy the same, well, maybe not the same luxury as the folks in Florida, but at least you'll compete in the competition.
Well, and speaking of competition, let's get to a fun thing when it comes to some of the names involved on the Beat the Host leaderboard and on the Beat the Host top three from Saturday. I saw right away there was going to be a smile to be had when the names were going to be read. John White finally got the multiple winners in for the host, three winners for John, and they weren't big prices, but at least we got a step in the right direction from the host side.
Absolutely. The winners this week, weekly prizes. First place went to Thomas Short at $165.50, and he gets the $1,500 first place prize. Finishing second, a guy who I've known, I don't know, maybe 20 plus years now, young man who's familiar to, I think, racetrackers all around the country, because he loves the game and he loves playing, and he's been a Beat the Host player for years now, and he just missed that. He was a $150 away from winning the top prize, and he gets $750 for second, and that is our man Ryan Brady, who is it's just so good to see his name up there with the prize winners. Brad Sanders, third, $160.50. $250 prize to Brad Sanders. Beat the Host continues Saturday. Our host is Jeff Siegel. And I'm thinking Jeff's going to bring his A game. He usually does. John White kind of gave us an upward push last week, and now we're looking to Jeff to kind of wipe out sweep the Host candidates. We're at 247 after 3 weeks, which is a big number. But the first 2 weeks, the Host had a rough go of it. A couple of off weeks. John White, as you said, three winners, and now Jeff Siegel will try and carve that sweep the Host number down quickly. So if you want to play Beat the Host, ExpressBet account holders only, go to ExpressBet.com. $5 win wager. It's a live wager on one horse in each of eight races. And if your total defeats the Host total, you move forward to the Beat the Host championship. And if you're in the top three for the week in scoring, you win yourself a nice cash prize. Plus, it's great because even if you don't win a prize, all you have to do is pick a winner or two, and it pays for your day in the competition, so you get a free roll. So Beat the Host this Saturday. Jeff Siegel, the man to beat.
Yeah, and, of course, Jeff will have plenty of stakes options when it comes to the Gulfstream side of the ledger, given the Saturday card, Johnny, and the Pegasus opportunity.
The first two Pegasus races, the first year it's new, it's plenty of money. I mean, plenty of money, an incredible amount of money. Yes, you're going to get the top horse. And it was built up as a showdown, didn't turn out to be showdown. But the second year, we got the best horse in the country again, and they hung around for at least one more race, kind of a farewell payday. Well, it's interesting this year because while Accelerate has an impeccable resume and has trained, my California spy told me he's training better than ever, which is a scary thought. But I think this field has got the most depth of any Pegasus field we've seen before. After the race, we might be saying, oh, it was obvious Accelerate was going to destroy this field. Maybe that's the case. But I think at this point, you look and it's a lot deeper just below the surface than normal. In fact, much deeper than normal. Obviously, City of Light, I think, would have to be second choice in there. That speed edge that City of Light has, going a mile and an eighth instead of a mile and a quarter at Gulfstream Park, which is a speed-friendly track, like most tracks, there's some thoughts there. There's some possibility. It's also his last race. He's going to retire. But then, once you go a little deeper, you've still got talent. Gunnavera, who was beaten nearly a length in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Of course, that was a mile and a quarter. Now we're a mile and eight. But Gunnavera loves Gulfstream Park. So, and you can keep going. There's some depth in this race that we haven't had in years past.
No, agree. It's a nice, and it, no matter what was going to happen, with or without the involvement of McKenzie, and of course McKenzie officially kind of lingered on the possible list until the weekend, and then the final decision and also the activity of the one and only Ron Paolucci. Luch steps up again and back in with Imperative, who becomes the 12th horse in this field. So Accelerate, City of Light, Seeking the Soul, Audible, True Timber, Bravazo, Pattern Recognition, Gunnavera, Something Awesome, Kukulcan, Thomas de Tott, and Imperative. That's your 12 that'll be in the entry box tomorrow.
That's an interesting lineup.
Yeah.
I think Mr. Baffert, standing there on the apron at Santa Anita watching Accelerate train, and if the reports I got of how well he's training were true, You know, Mr. Baffert didn't miss a move that Accelerate made, and he was probably thinking to himself, do I really want to ship and take this guy on? And or maybe I better just wait and pick a little softer spot to get going with McKenzie. I think that had to factor in the decision.
Well, the corollary is that at this point, McKenzie is going to make his early season target the big cap, and that's a positive too. That only enhances and is a nice, you know, is a nice building block for the big cap this year.
Yeah, I certainly, the big cap is one race. I mean, other than everything from Hollywood Park, the big cap is certainly one race that in my racing history has really been diminished in importance. And for a variety of reasons, the Dubai World Cup started to chip away at it, and then some other race, you know, it just has lost its position on the calendar. And I've heard Hammer speak with you about this, and it's nice to see McKenzie's going to aim for that. I think he was talking about, San Pasquale and then Big Cap? I think, anyway, having him in the Big Cap is... It gives the race a little bit of oomph that I think it needed.
Absolute. And that you know, that part of it, as opposed to me, you know, I think there was speculation, right? Oh, we'll go to Dubai. No. Well, let's just stay at home. And you know, speaking, you said history, and since it is the Monday here that they're going to run the megahertz. I'll bring it up with you. I'll bring it up with John White later, too, because I unearthed a video on Twitter, a 12-minute video that's the story of megahertz. And, Johnny, you were on hand out there for, you know, probably every one of her West Coast starts at Del Mar, Hollywood, and Santa Anita. And if people are fans of the game that come to it only in the last few years, you want to see some exciting performances and some high wire act efforts. How about the 14-time winning megahertz?
You know, she was so much fun, and you know, she was a little thing,
yeah.
And that made it even more remarkable what she would do. And the other, you know, you say I was around for megahertz performances. The other interesting part is that most of those times, I was probably, I should say some of those times, I was probably sitting next to Bobby Frankel when they ran the race. You know, and he just absolutely, he adored this filly. He just absolutely adored her. What she could do and how she tried every time, and, you know, her diminutive size and her heart and her come from behind style. He just adored her. The other horse that he really loved, and he, this is before Ghost Zapper, and, but the other horse he really loved was a horse named Exborn. And I believe he was a Judmont. And he got hurt. He was injured. And Bobby was, that was one of his absolute favorites. I can't tell you his record off the top of my head. I think he was a turf miler, maybe, European import. I'm just going off of memory. But Bobby really loved that horse, and he loved megahertz. Megahertz was one of his favorites.
There's a fun story that I know Chad Brown has relayed about the purchase of megahertz, and that of course Michael Bello, the winemaker, ends up buying her, but Frankel, you know, Frankel was impressed, but recognized, you talked about her size, and Frankel told it might have been Jose Cuevas who might have done the communicating to Bello. Bobby made it clear, don't let the bloodstock guy, you know, see the the horse. Because if they see the horse, they're going to think she's that's a deal breaker because she's so tiny, she looks like a pony, and nobody's going to sign off on the purchase, and so that ended up being a pretty sage advice because all she did was she won her North American debut. She won the Blue Norther, and that was it. I mean, from there it is a who's who of that era. And you know, it's funny, I watched this video, Johnny, and I had completely forgotten, and it's really not that, 15 years ago when she won the maybe. And by the way, one of the other things that everybody will notice, there were countless fields of 5 and 6 that, and this is 15 years ago. And I know, you know, back when dinosaurs roamed the earth, every stake race had 14 runners, except the ones that you watched that had 5 or 6. The triple dead heat behind her for second. With Dublino and Tate's Creek and Golden Apples, triple dead heat for second.
Yeah, and all quality fillies too. You know, I guess people were afraid of favorites back then too. You know, Bobby was such a contrarian. No matter if it was a topic, if it was politics, if it was boxing, if it was horse racing, if it was baseball, he was a contrarian. If you said something was blue, he said it was orange. You know, I mean, he just liked that. He liked to be the contrarian. And I think the fact that the megahertz, her size, was so against type that he really, you know, he relished having her perform so well.
Now, she had a tendency to go on tears too. She won the, she gave the North America. She wins the. She wins the first four races, first five technically, because she was put up, of course, in the first American Oaks, and I had forgotten that too. P-Val rode her that day, P-Val rode her in the Honeymoon in her first graded stake win, and. That was a race where she was bottled up and exploded in the final yards, which, you know, she did a lot. But in the American Oaks, Dublino and DeSormo, they fouled her. And, in fact, Solis even said that she got hit on the nose a couple of times by DeSormo's whip.
Yeah, nothing was going to stop her. She was just so much fun to watch. I mean, you know, when you have a mare with that style, and we saw it with Vignetta, we're seeing it now with Lynx. You know, when they have that style, it makes them even, it enhances their greatness, because that explosion is just, it's so impressive, and especially when they're mares, that makes it even better. It's
really better. Well, kind of honoring megahertz today with the feature at Santa Anita. And we should also mention, Johnny, the Stronach 5 on Friday. Seemed like it was on its way to chalking out, where you had the 580 Mitchell Road in the first leg, the very obvious Do You Want a Salsa in that second leg at Laurel, paid 340, then Bourbon War, and we do have to talk about Bourbon War at some point, probably tomorrow with Jeremy Plonk and the Countdown of the Crown, but that good allowance race at Gulfstream on Friday, and Bourbon War was very good for Mark Hennig, pays $5, but then you did have one price, Teladios in the 10th at Gulfstream before Selwood off the turf in leg 5 at Santa Anita, paid 320. Teladios paid 1820, and that boosted the payday. $565 for that sequence, 245 winning tickets in the Stronach 5 on Friday.
Yeah, you know, I didn't get to play on Friday, but I didn't get to play for a couple weeks, actually. But, it's okay to have one of those. It's nice to spread the money out a little bit instead of, and we've kind of had that in the Rainbow Six last couple of days at Santa Anita for people who've been playing that. These cases where the pool is humongous and they've got a guarantee to the single ticket jackpot, and you know the favorites are coming in, so the guys that are putting in huge tickets are not doing well, and the little guy who puts in a regular sheet, he's maybe getting a couple hundred back, 300, 400. You know, I like when that happens because it kind of gives the little guy some money back and let him play and make the big guy sweat a little bit. The big guys have plenty of days that they can crush us, but it's nice to see these smaller price payoffs once in a while.
Well, Johnny, aside from what's happening Saturday at Gulfstream, the other topic Thursday, we've got the Eclipse Awards, and I don't know if I don't recall if we had a final decision from you or final answer on Horse of the Year. Did you ever weigh in on that?
I don't think I weighed in on the show. I don't think so. I weighed in with my vote. Does that count?
It does. If you want to reveal, feel free.
Yeah, I can reveal it. There's nothing secret, and I have good reasons for it. That's why there's nothing secret. I went with Justify as Horse of the Year because I believe that what he did, what he accomplished, was unprecedented. I did not hold against him the fact that he left us far too early, based on our wishes. We don't know physically, you know, what the situation was, and we don't have to pay those insurance premiums and the rest of it. But I don't hold that against what this horse did was unprecedented. And when you do something unprecedented, yeah, it's special. It's special, especially when you're talking about a sport that and a series that's been around, you know, for over 100 years. You know, it means something. It really does mean something. Not just the Triple Crown. The Triple Crown continues, in my mind, to be an incredible athletic achievement. But the way he did it, and I think that was really something that we had never seen before. I don't know if we're going to see it again. Maybe the game's changed. Maybe we'll see it again. I don't know. But as a person who's been around racing, who's been around trainers, and watched them prepare a horse and fret over a horse, and you've heard me on the show many times say to you, uh-oh, something happened when they rode their Triple Crown. I don't care if it's a fever. Once your path is interrupted, it's tough. It's really tough because it's so demanding. And Bob Baffert was able to hit every note with this horse. This horse hit every note on his own. You know, I thought it was maybe something I've never seen before, and I've been doing this almost 50 years, and I may never see again. So how could I not say that's the Horse of the Year? All honor to Accelerate, who had a fantastic season, and what he did cannot be diminished at all. But long year. I mean, it's the only thing I can say for me, because the other guy, Justify, did something that, you know, is unprecedented, and that deserves mention. It deserves honors. So that's where I came down on it.
Well, I appreciate it, and I don't see it differently at all. I understand. You know, I understand getting behind Accelerate. I get it, and it was in most years it would be a very credible and you know exemplary Horse of the Year campaign.
Yeah. Absolutely. But wrong year for me.
Yeah,
and that's,
exactly.
That's all you can say, you know. And, you know, and the other thing is, he's not going home empty-handed. You know, it's not like Accelerate did all this and is not going to be rewarded. He's going to be rewarded. And if it goes the other way, it's not like Justify's not going to be rewarded. He's going to be rewarded. But I think he was far and above, his accomplishments were far and above just merely the best three-year-old. I think his accomplishments weren't. You know, and this, the saddest thing about it is that what Justify did kind of worked against him, because, you know, the famous Jeopardy clip from a couple of weeks ago when no one could name the Triple Crown winner, we never got to know him, really. The public, I mean, I got to know him because I watched every replay of his workouts and every race and every, you know, but the public never got to identify with this horse. They never were able to appreciate what he did just because they didn't know him. And when you start in February, there's not much time. You know, it's better when you're a two-year-old, and then you know, we've seen your race at two, and you know the horses you've been running with. And when you get to know the horse a little bit. He was there, and then he was gone. And what he did in between, wow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and Johnny, any other controversial categories, anything, some of the tougher decisions?
Yeah, Distaff in front of me. There were some tough ones this year. There were a few, you know, I thought photo finishes. But, you know, you know which one was the toughest? Probably the male turf. I think I really had a tough time with that one. I think I settled on Expert Eye just because it was kind of a season where nobody really did enough to kind of put them over the top for me. I think our turf horses were not, you know, they kind of took turns beating each other. You know, the wet ground had a lot to do with questioning the form of some of these races. It was just a funky year. And I thought that Expert Eye win, now you could have said, well, he just beat Catapult, and Catapult had a fine year, but he won a couple grade twos. He didn't even win a grade one. I couldn't go in that direction. It made it really tough to decide where to go. Glorious Empire, you know, that's a good season, no doubt about it. But what happened in the BC turf? Well, the turf was no good, and, you know, he had a problem. And, you know, so I think that was the toughest one.
I don't.
Stony River would have been like, how do you, you know?
I don't. Yeah, course. that was tough. I didn't know what to do there with it. I ended up with Glorious Empire myself, but it's I couldn't. I the Expert Eye problem is that for me anyway, that I didn't think it was a particularly special group of milers. So that sort of took a little bit of the glow off of. And I'm not a big, you better be a Goldakova when it comes to coming to this country with one start. I rarely am taken in by the one start campaign. I don't. Johnny?
Yeah.
I just was going to, I got a wonderful email about you that is really a perfect tie-in to the discussion of the health issue. And he doesn't identify himself per se, but
I just sent it.
You sent it? Did you forward it?
No.
It tells us to mention to you that Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons, he was diagnosed with a bad heart at the age of 10, and yet he made it to 92, and that was without any fancy medicine either. And of course, being at the racetrack helps. So he says he looks forward to hearing you for years to come. Sonny Johnny. Sonny John.
I wonder if Sonny Jim, what kind of tattoo he had on the start. So that's up with him. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the next 30-something years.
Nice. Johnny, I am just delighted you're back. That's all.
Me too.
So is everybody. Exactly.
How about this week? And this weekend we got to see, how about Roy H.? I mean, if you want to learn what a horse looks like breathing, watch that performance. That was just, wow, what a performance. And Fleur, what is it, Fleur de Lemaire? Fleur de Mer? Is it Fleur de Lemaire? Yeah.
Fleur de Lemaire.
Nice, very nice. Well, very nice performance and lived up to all the hype going in. But Roy H., if you haven't seen that race, go back and watch it, because that is a real... And you know what? It occurred to me, you don't realize sometimes when horses are doing what they're doing, how great they are. But when they keep doing it again and again and again, you look back and you look through his form and you say, holy mackerel, this guy, he's been on top of his game for quite a while now. And sprinting in California, which is, that's a tough racket. Sprinters don't hang around all that long. That's a tough racket. You're laying the body down every time. So I was impressed with that.
Well, the gelding story with him is central to everything. It's basically, you know, his career started once he was gelded. No.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it doesn't always work for the rest of us quite as well.
Johnny, have a terrific week, and I appreciate it. We'll be recapping Pegasus Day and much more when we talk next Monday.
Stevie, take care. Good to be back.
Johnny D, everybody, he's back. And everybody's happy about that. Speaking about big performances from the weekend, well, win, win, win for Mrs. Weber and Mike Trombetta. Mike joins us next. Chris Englehart to follow. John White's going to join us. I put up the greatest picture of John early this morning, if you didn't see it. He's interviewing Alex Solis and after one of Megahertz's wins. And he's kind of wiping his brow with his silks jacket, with his sleeve. And it looks like he's dabbing. It's a riot. Eric Guillo noted that John White still had black hair back then. Back after this, Mike Trombetta, one of our longtime favorites, and we'll talk to Mike about what looks to be a serious 3-year-old. Win, win, win. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I can't understand the people of the day. See each other down, or lift a hand in way. This has been going on for years and years. Humanity's a class lord on his first gear. Your blood's red.
Races 10 minutes to the top of the hour, and the only wrinkle in the career so far of win-win-win came back in Maryland at Laurel in the Heft when that nice Kelly Rubley runner, the Maryland bred, Always Mining, beat him. But other than that, he's perfect, and that included Saturday in the 7-furlong Pasco. It's always a pleasure when we can congratulate Mike Trombetta on a big stake win, and even doubly pleasurable that it's for Charlotte Weber and Live Oak. And it was a big day for Charlotte on Saturday with 7 runners between Tampa and Gulfstream. This is a horse that's got her excited and everybody that watched excited. Mike, congratulations.
Good morning, Steve. How you doing? Thank you.
Excellent. And this was... You looked at this race on paper, and he's the horse to beat, and so forth. But there's a couple of nice horses. It's early in the 3-year-old season. I don't think maybe you knew he could win like that, but this was an eye opener.
Yeah, it was. We kind of were looking for the logical progression for him distance wise, and I thought another 7/8 may do him well before we jumped into 2-turn stuff, and that's kind of why I pointed towards this race, and thought he could run good. Did I think he could run that way? Well, obviously not.
Talk about his development through the winter. I mentioned the Heft. He certainly ran well, and it's not like he got beat by an obscurity in Always Mining. That's a real horse. Otherwise, he's 3 for 3 for 3. Other than that.
Yeah, so the Heft is, it was one of those days where the track wasn't great. We had some rain, and it was trying to dry out, but it was still greasy. And Julian told me that, just as the doors were opening, he was taking a step backwards. And then when he tried to get himself on away from there, he kind of scrambled, awkwardly started, and maybe the ground broke away a little bit. I don't know for sure. But, he looked up, and the leaders were 10 lengths in front of him.
Well, anything that has happened, for the development and for what you've been doing with him, talk a little bit about, how things have progressed.
Well, the nice thing about it is, we would all love to win every time. And as you all know, it doesn't always work out that way. But what it has taught us is, that He's very rateable. He'll take dirt. He'll sit behind horses. You know, those are all the kind of things that we need going forward, and I'm glad to see that to this point none of that has been an issue.
The way in which he did this, and I suppose that, you know, you and Julian had this conversation, you know, keep him, you know, in the clear and wait until, you know, you're ready. This was just one of those as he pleased kind of performances.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I didn't, being Julian's worked this horse all summer. I mean, he knows him better than anybody at this point, and, you know, so there were no instructions whatsoever the other day. I just said hello to him and basically put him on the horse and wished him luck. And one of the qualities I like about him is if things don't go to plan, you know, he doesn't panic. He's pretty relaxed about it, and he just kind of lets things develop. And when he got away a little slow, over the weekend, I think some of that was in part that he stood in the gate for so long because they were chasing a loose horse around. So, and they left him in the gate. But, you know, he got away a little slow again. And, you know, fortunately they were really in a hurry early on, set up a good pace in front of him, and it just gave him a chance to, you know, go on and run when the time was right.
Well, that's the way it unfolded, and now, of course, you look ahead and give us a feel. How do you expect to proceed?
Well, you know, I shipped him out of the Fairhill barn to go down to Florida. You know, I shipped him on Tuesday and let him train there a couple of days over the race, you know, for the race. So right now, you know, the plans are still, you know, a little sketchy, but I think they're starting to come together. I think, you know, I flew home last night, and it's 10 degrees with 40-mile-an-hour wind, so it's not necessarily conducive to bring him back up this way. So I think we're going to hang out down there for a while and prepare him, you know, in, you know, to where he runs somewhere back in Florida, you know, in the near future. So whether it would be at Tampa or Gulfstream, we'll have those options. But the way that he ran on the Tampa track certainly has me leaning in their direction.
You've got a barn at Gulfstream, we should note, right? I mean, you can,
yeah,
just keep him there and work at Gulfstream. Sam Davis comes up a little bit fairly quick, right? So the Sam Davis is not far off.
No, it does come back a little quick. I mean, you know, it would be
2 weeks. Yeah, no good.
Yeah, it comes back on February 9th, and, you know, obviously the Tampa Bay Derby's a month after that. So we have options, and one of those options may be we may settle him in at Tampa and just let him train there so he's training on the track he would be running on, and, you know, that's something that we're exploring right now.
Makes a lot of sense. And Tampa Bay Derby, for those that still haven't made plans, March 9th, if you want to get down for Derby Day, which is really a lot of fun at Tampa. This was impressive. When you look at the pedigree, too, we should note, Mike, there's nothing on paper that says he will not stretch out. And the female family between Miss Smarty Pants, the Smarty Jones mare of Mrs. Weber's, and of course Hattrick himself, being by Sunday Silence, but there happens to be a mare in this pedigree that's a personal favorite, and that's Snow Cone, who was absolutely the sweetest among the horses of Mrs. Weber's, and I think Snow Cone was a purchase. I don't think she was a homebred, but Snow Cone happens to be a mare of Mrs. Weber's that I absolutely loved and would visit it at Palmetto's, and she was just a sweetheart.
Well, this is this guy here. He's done everything that he's supposed to, and he's been very good to work with thus far. So hopefully that trend continues.
It physically, I mean, from what you see and the way he, you know, the way he moves and how much you know, how much it took to get him fit. What's your thought on the two turn opportunity?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. You know, when we get into the end of our season up north, and, you know, we're starting to contemplate who goes to Florida and who doesn't, who may need turf and who doesn't have to have it. With this guy's pedigree, I was thinking very much would be likely is we get a race under him up at Laurel and then send him south, because with the hat trick of, in the pedigree and everything, chances are he's going to wind up on the grass. I was very relieved. He kind of fooled me a little bit. I didn't think he had 5.5 speed. I was very relieved to see that he could run on the dirt. So we kept him up north. And subsequently, you know, I was able to get another couple of productive races in him before going here. So turf is certainly something that's on the back burner for him. But, you know, as far as him going further, off of the 2.78s that I've seen, I'm not terribly concerned about it. Now, of course, we need to see him do it, but I think we'll be fine.
Win, win, win. And obviously the hat trick name figuring in to the repetition, the use of win, win, win on this hat trick. Colt, Mike, this is exciting, and I know from communicating with Charlotte over the weekend, she's really excited. So this is great. And of course, you also had the bonus of being a state bred, and that bonus money that's involved actually, you know, ran for the full purse, as opposed to, you know, the Kentucky breds that that aren't as eligible for it. So he took advantage of the Florida bred aspect in this group, and gets a little bit of extra coin in his earnings.
Yeah, and I think that's the rewards for the breeders, you know, and it's nice that all these states have these programs, and, you know, you can't always take advantage of those opportunities, but when you do, it's nice.
Well, speaking of which, let's look ahead to today. Laurel, later on, speaking of breeders and good long-term clients, Larry Johnson has got the Maryland bred Congrats Filly today in that open company allowance. What do you think? You made it. Going to be a little bit of a price.
Well, you missed the earlier part of this conversation. If we didn't talk about it, maybe I had it with others, but nobody's racing today. It's 10 degrees.
Oh, they canceled?
And it's 10 degrees, and it's about 40-mile-an-hour winds.
I didn't know. I did not see Laurel. I didn't see the Laurel announcement.
You would be hard-pressed to go outside and stay out for any more than 5 or 10 minutes. It's awful.
Ah, it's too bad. All right, so
yeah, Laurel. So we're fortunate enough, we re-entered, and we're back in actually later in the week. So
nice.
Today is a holiday for Martin Luther King and racing.
Yeah, I knew New York, but I didn't that days ago, but I had never saw the notice that Laurel was done. Well, you're running in Florida. You got no trespassing.
We do have a couple trying their luck in Florida, and I imagine it's even in the 40s down there today, so it's going to get nicer as the day goes on. But, we have a couple of chances down there in the fifth race.
They're both running?
Yes.
Well, give us a hint here. What do you got? No trespassing for Mrs. Weber, coming off of a restricted company win, and a great time for Larry. This is also a Maryland bred of his.
Yeah, Mrs. Weber's horse is improving, and, she's getting better. So time to try open company and see what she can do. And Larry's filly, we had a really rotten year up here with all the rain and, you know, interrupting our turf schedule. So I took her to Woodbine, and she had a second, and she came back in a little bit of a troubled trip and ran a good fourth. So have to go all the way from Woodbine to South Florida to try to keep these guys on a surface that they like. But, she'll race a few times over the winter down there, and then hopefully spring happens early and we can get back up north.
What's the status? I'll ask you a couple of horses. What's going on with Gearhead off that maiden win at the end of December?
He's another one. He's a rainmaker. You know, he's had 5 starts. 4 of them have been rained off the turf. So if we're ever in a drought, he's a good horse to put in the entry box. So I took him to Saratoga. He spent the whole meet up there and never got to run on the turf at all.
No.
So he's doing good, and I just want to try to get him a couple of turf opportunities.
Yeah, he's a city zip, and out of Dynamotor, Mrs. Weber's Dyna former mare, and this is a horse that people should take note. There's something here, and mark him down, folks. Gearhead is who we're talking about. Florida-bred three-year-old, and there might be something to him. Any unraced three-year-olds, Mike, that are hanging around waiting for their debuts?
Well, most of them have made it to the races by now, but there's still so much, good space in front of them yet. So, obviously this guy that we ran at Tampa is exciting, and we do like Gearhead, as a matter of fact. And I'm hoping for a nice spring and summer with him. And won't be long, we'll be starting to see the two-year-olds that are coming up for next year.
Well, I'll ask you about one more juvenile then. What about that No Mo Lady going back to the Maryland Juvenile Filly Championship in December?
Yeah, she's solid. There's a lot of turf pedigree there. We only were able to run her on the turf once, and she broke her maiden on the grass. And then we were, thrust into having to run on the dirt. I kept her up north. She's going to run at Aqueduct in her next start, going a mile and an eighth. And I actually owned and trained with Larry, her mother, and that filly was all grass. I think we'll race her a time or two over the winter months and then be looking for grass for her in the spring.
And finally, you mentioned Woodbine. That made me think about Wet Your Whistle.
That one was pretty exciting. He had trained Lights Out on a synthetic. We had some steering issues with him on the turf, with the tighter turns, and we had to change equipment. But when he went up there to run on the synthetic, I think he ran like a 94 buyer number. So we brought him on back. He's at Fairhill. We decided to give him the entire month of January off after that race, and we're just freshening him up. He goes back in training February 1st. And we'll gear him up for a spring-summer campaign.
There we go. There's a barn tour with Mike Trombetta. Mike, this is fun, and excited for you, excited for Mrs. Weber. Win, win, win. The engine on the train staying in Florida and probably Tampa Bay Derby bound. Hope it's a great year, and look forward to seeing you and talking soon.
All right. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate it very much.
Mike Trombetta, folks, and we've certainly gotten to know Mike maybe as well as anybody that we talk to. And that goes back to Sweet Northern Saint, and one of the, to me, an experience that I cherish. Mike, let me kind of ride along those 2 weeks at Churchill. And a pretty special time, an atmosphere at that stakes barn, and Mike's crew. We had a lot of fun. Barbaro was in that barn, and Jazzle, and Flashy Bull, and Brother Derek, who took a bite out of me. We had a lot of fun. Back after this, Chris Engelhart and... Couldn't be more excited to have Chris on. We've had Chris before, but this is the opportunity to congratulate him on his first graded stake win. Solid wager came his way courtesy of Gary Barber, and well-placed to win the toboggan. Chris Engelhart joins us next.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.